Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today. In the name of Jesus, for our Unleavened Bread Bible study. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for drawing us unto yourself. Lord, reveal unto us your glory. Manifest your glory in us, Father. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Father, for your promises, Lord. We stand upon them. We're rejoicing over them. And you're giving us victory in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the glory of God. I want to start out with the bad news and gravitate into the really, really good news of the glory of God. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 10. And let's see, I think I'll just start in 26. You know, the word says, if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more a sacrifice for sins. Now, I know most of the church does not tell people this, and it's something we must be warned about. There's no sacrifice for sin. Jesus' sacrifice, as far as him taking the penalty for your sin, does not cover willful disobedience, which means, of course, that you have to take that penalty. You have to take that punishment. And I tell you that if a person continues in this, they will die. They will be twice dead, plucked up by the roots, as the word says. Verse 27, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment that comes be instead of your justification, instead of your sacrifice for sins, a certain fearful expectation of judgment. Many are looking for this judgment right now, and I'm telling you, it's coming in mass very quickly. A fierceness of fire which shall devour the adversaries. And of course, these people are adversaries to the kingdom, to the people of God. They're adversaries. A man that has set at naught Moses' law dieth without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment think ye shall he be judged worthy of, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. In other words, have taken grace for granted. It's greasy grace. You know, grace, I'm forgiven of everything. I can go ahead and sin because I'm going to be forgiven, you know. But it doesn't work that way. For we know him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So that's my warning. I say most Christians don't live there. Some do, but they don't live there. I believe that they're more in line with what Paul said in Romans chapter 7, and I'll read just a little bit of that, especially somewhere around 16 on down. He says, but if what I would not, notice would not, it means your will, right? If we sin willfully, but if what I would not that I do. In other words, he was not willfully sinning. His will wasn't in it. He was failing God, right? But if what I would not that I do, I consent unto the law that it is good. Well, some people don't. They twist, they pervert, they change the law so that they can continue to sin. Yes. Or they make up foolish doctrines like unconditional eternal security, that permit them to continue on in their sins. Or they just deny what the Word says, or totally ignore you if you point it out to them. I've run across all of this, especially in the last few years, you know. I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, a person who admits that the law is right, the Word of God is right, and I'm wrong, and I don't want to do this. In other words, their will is just not in it. He said, so now it's no longer I that do it. That's the spiritual man, right? But the sin which dwelleth in me. That's the carnal man. God begins to separate the spiritual man from the carnal man when you want that. You desire that. You desire to walk with the Lord in holiness, right? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not. So he had a will to do the good and the right. And this is where a lot of Christians are, and these are the people that have hope. The others don't have any hope. Verse 19, for the good which I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not or will not, that I practice. But if what I would not that I do, it's no more I that do it, but sin which dwelleth in me. He's telling you this again. He wants to make sure you understand this, right? And I find then that the law that to me, who would do good, willed to do good, evil is present. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. There you go. But I see a different law in my members, that is, in the body, in the flesh, right? Warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me out of the body of this death? Well, it is a miserable estate, but God has a solution. And it's already been accomplished for you. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then, I of myself, with the mind, indeed serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he's in this trap. But now he's discovered that God is separating him from the old sinner who is dead and gone. I'll share that with you in a minute. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. In other words, he's saying this is a person who's in Christ Jesus because they will to do good. They delight after the Lord, right? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. Well, now, this is the gospel. He made you free from sin, as he speaks in Romans chapter 6. He delivered you out of sin. He crucified your old man. He nailed him to that cross, and now you are free. He's made reconciliation. He's given you Christ, and you're not to walk by sight. You're to walk by faith. And if you do that, you will receive grace from God. You'll be justified by your faith. You'll receive grace from God to walk away from that sin. So I just wanted to lay that little bit of a foundation. I believe most people are in this second category here in Romans chapter 7. And at least those who are true Christians are in the second category. But we have to keep remembering that I thank God through Jesus Christ. Who's going to deliver me? He said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ delivered you. And, Paul gave the really, really good confession in Galatians chapter 2. I think I'll start in verse 16. Because many people, they're law-oriented, instead of grace-oriented. He says, yet knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we believed on Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. The law is like, you have to do this. And if you don't do this, you've offended God, you're going to be judged, right? That's the law. That's the way it is. But grace is not that way. Grace is, if you don't want to do it, then you fall into this second category that I'm talking about, and God's going to give you his grace. So, because by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, but if while we sought to be justified in Christ Jesus, we ourselves also were found sinners, there's your willful disobedience, in Christ, is Christ a minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I prove myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died unto the law, that I might live unto God. You have to die unto the law. This is not the relationship that you have with Christ anymore. And those Christians that go back under the law, the curse is written upon them in Galatians and in Romans by Paul. You must come out from under the law. You must come under grace and be reckoned righteous through your grace, right? So here he gives you the gospel, the good confession that he makes in front of many people, the good confession that we must do also. And he said, I have been crucified with Christ. Okay. Here's a man who wrote Romans 7 there and pointed out that that relationship he had with the Lord, he was doing things he didn't like to do, basically. And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ. And here is the justification for that statement. I have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I that live. You are dead. When you got baptized, you went down, and it wasn't you that came up. It was Christ. It's the resurrection life of Christ, right? As in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. In Christ shall all be made alive. The one who came up out of that water was Christ in you, right? And the one who went down was you. And so he makes this statement. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. There's the good confession right there. Christ liveth in me. And that's even while you're doing things that you don't want to do, and you're fighting against it, and you're seeking God for grace, and so on and so forth. He said, Christ liveth in you, right? And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God. So even while you're walking in that flesh, which is contrary to everything that you want and contrary to your spiritual man, he says, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So this is a good confession. This is where you don't walk by sight. You don't see your natural face in the mirror. You see Christ in the mirror. You are accepting the good gospel of what he has done for you. And you know, while we're talking about that, let's talk about James just a little bit. James chapter 1. And let's see, verse 21. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, we receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted, some versions say, or inborn, some versions say, word, which is able to save your souls. Now, I have to remind you that when you become a Christian, the first thing that is saved is your spirit, not your soul. And it is through your obedience to the truth, Peter said, that your soul is saved. In other words, That's where fruit is born of what God put in your spirit man. Your spirit is has the grace of God within it, the seed of God within it, so on and so forth. And the fruit is born in the soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Don't let anybody tell you that these are works. These are the works of God. The Bible says, by grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, meaning your works, lest any man shall boast. For in Christ Jesus were you created for good works. And so those are God's works. The first works is your works that you cannot be justified by. The second work is God's work in you. If you have faith, you will have God's work in you. He gives grace to the people who have faith. Faith can't be what a lot of the Christians believe it is. It's what you believe. No, grace is believing what the Bible says about you, what Jesus did for you at the cross. Grace is believing and confessing that before men. Grace is believing that you don't live anymore, that Christ lives in you. This is where grace comes from. Your faith in that is where grace comes from. If you lose track of that, and quite often people do, quite a few times during their Christian walk, they lose track of that, or never knew it. Some people never knew it. And so if you lose track of that, you will not receive grace from God, because you will just be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word. So he said in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. Because there's a lot of deluded people out there. They do not obey the word and they believe that they're saved. Well, what is the problem? Verse 23. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened to a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. Now we know that we reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Romans chapter 6. We know that we don't live anymore. It's Christ who lives in us. And we know that when we look in the mirror, we're supposed to see Jesus and not ourselves, because that old person is dead. He was buried in the waters of baptism. He's being obedient to the word of God, which is the water, which puts to death the old man and gives life to the new man, the resurrection man in us, Christ Jesus, right? So, if you constantly look, and the devil tries to do this, constantly get your eyes on yourself, where you are in the physical, where you are by sight and not by faith. He wants you to walk by sight. If you walk by sight, you will fail. You will only be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, because you get no grace from God to be anything else. Okay, please remember that. And I'm telling you, you know that you have to remind yourself of these things, because the devil is constantly trying to work on your mind to get you to walk by sight. Walk by sight, no grace. Walk by faith, grace. Okay, remember that. So, for he beholdeth himself and goeth away straightway, forgetting what manner of man he was. So, this person who sees their natural face in the mirror, they're going to walk away and they're not going to overcome. They're not going to receive grace from God. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, or you might even say the law that brings liberty, right? And so continueth, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing. Okay, we know that. The blessings of God is upon the person who refuses to see their natural face in the mirror. They believe the good news of the gospel, that they were crucified with Christ. And like Paul said, it's no more I that live, it's Christ that liveth in me. And he gave the good confession. The Bible says, if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth, right, that Jesus is Lord, over what? over your life? That's what you have to believe, is that Jesus, because of what happened at the cross, he's Lord of your life. As long as you abide in him by faith in the sacrifice, then you're going to have grace. If you don't do that, if you don't walk by faith, you will not receive grace. And, you know, a good example, of course, one of my favorite verses, because the gospel is so in this little phrase here, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Everybody knows I love that text. I love it because it keeps reminding people of what they're supposed to be doing in order to have grace with God. And it says, but we all with an unveiled face. Well, let me say, a lot of people have a veiled face until you turn to the Lord, verse 16 above. But whensoever it shall turn to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Okay, when you turn to the Lord and you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, the veil is taken away. You can see that he is the one that lives in you. You're not walking in the flesh. You're not confessing those things that are. You're calling the things that be not as though they were, you know, as the Lord taught us from his own example, right? But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding, and like I said, many Christians are veiled. They're under the law. If you go back before this, the law was one particular way that people stay veiled, right? Because it separates you from Christ. It separates you from grace, right? But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. Okay, so we behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What is the glory of the Lord? The glory of the Lord is his life. The glory of the Lord is the word that lives in him. It's who he is. It shines forth. If we walk in the light, what is that light of? The light of the word. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. You know? So walking in the light, this light of the glory of God, as he mentions a little further down. We'll get to that in just a minute. But we have to behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, what are you saying? That I'm Jesus? What you're saying is Jesus lives in me, because you're seeing an imagination. See, he called it an image here. The same image from glory to glory. It's an imagination. It's a renewed imagination of who you are in Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay. So you're imagining that what the Bible says is true. Your imagination is captured by the fact that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. Because you're not walking in willful disobedience, it's no more you that do it, but it's the sin which dwelleth in you. And God has separated you, the spiritual man, from you, the carnal man, who is dead and gone and nailed to the cross. Don't you see? Very clear. Okay? So, while we're beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, we're being transformed. Why? Because God gives grace for faith. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith is what Jesus said when he said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them. It's past tense. And you shall have them. That's what faith is. Faith is believing you have something on the grounds that God says you have it in his word. Not on the grounds of what you see of your natural face in the mirror of who you are in this world naturally. It's faith. Faith is accounted as righteousness. When you see Jesus in the mirror, you are accounted as righteous. Because God knows he's going to give you grace to bring it to pass. And God doesn't live in time. And we shouldn't either. We know that this is already done in Christ Jesus. It's already accomplished in Christ. He's already crucified your old carnal life. He's already given life, resurrection life to you, right? So, while you continue, and it's a wrestle sometimes, because the devil keeps wanting to remind you of your failures, of your past. But the Bible says, forgetting the things which are behind, we press forward to the prize of the high calling of God in Christ. How are you going to press forward? Forgetting the things which are behind. Forget your failures. Press forward. Keep your eyes forward. Keep your eyes on Jesus in the mirror. That's your gift from God right there. He made reconciliation, which means an exchange. He already exchanged his life for yours. He took your old carnal, selfish life, nailed it to the cross, and he gave you his precious, perfect life. And it's yours now. Transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. I'm talking on this because I know how people lose track of what faith is and what's been accomplished by faith and begin to get drugged down by what they have seen themselves do in the past and what they see that they've been in bondage to now. But you see, if you don't continue in the faith, God does not continue giving you grace. By grace have you been saved through faith. You continue to walk by faith. Continue to believe what God says. Continue to confess him before men. Continue. Or you will fall away. People get disgusted because they don't know the gospel and because they keep failing God. They give up, throw their hands up, and go back into the world. That's why most people fall away, is they don't keep their eyes on the gospel. They don't, first of all, the gospel is not preached to them. Oh, I know people talk about, you know, accept Jesus. This is the gospel. That's not in the Bible. In the Bible, repent and believe is spoken. That's what's spoken. Repent. Change your mind. Believe the gospel, the good news that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. Repent and believe, right? Okay, repent is change your mind. You can accept what God says about you. You don't have to accept what the world says about you or what you see in a natural mirror. You don't accept that either. This is how you'll begin to grow into the image of Jesus Christ from glory to glory. One time I shared with you many years ago, of course, that the Lord showed me those glories are what Paul talked about. That star glory, moon glory, sun glory. We grow from glory to glory. You know, stars have their own glory. And we do too. There's a lot of self-righteousness in people when they first come to the Lord. They have their own glory. And they're separated from one another. They all have their own glory. Look up at the stars. That's like the seed of Abraham, God said, you see. Okay? But the next stage was moon glory. And the Bible says if we're united with him in the likeness of his death, the moon is dead, you see. It doesn't have its own glory. It only reflects the light of the sun. If we become united with him in the likeness of his death, we shall also be of the resurrection. That is the next stage. Sun glory. The sun living in you. The sun shining forth from you. Literally shining forth. We'll talk about that in a minute too. So, well, go down to chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that perish, or literally are perishing. People are perishing if they don't remember the gospel. If the veil comes back upon them, that they have to do this and they have to do that, the law, right? It's not that God has done this or God has done that. It's I have to do this or I have to do that. New Year's resolutions. See how often they fail? Because the power of a resolution is man, but the power of grace through faith is God. God gives you His power. People say, God can't do it. They never knew the gospel. That's the reason they say that. God can't do it. God can't perfect me. I just got to be satisfied to be a sinner saved by grace, right? Well, they're liars. They've received an antichrist gospel. They don't know anything about faith. And most often fail and go back into the world because they don't have any grace. The world is full of people. Look at the parable of the sower. 3 out of 4 fell back into the world. 1 bore fruit. And I can guarantee you that one who bore fruit bore it because they believed the gospel, the good news. The gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. Continue to believe it. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And what does he say? Don't think that you're going to receive anything from God like that. That's what he says. No, you're not. So you have to be steadfast regarding the gospel. And so it says, if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled in them that are perishing, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Don't let him blind you. Because, let me say, there are many Christians who are unbelieving. Yes. So, blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them. He doesn't want you to understand 2 Corinthians 3:18, and even less, he does not want you to do 2 Corinthians 3:18, to behold Jesus in the mirror. Well, you say, wow, that is grace. It is grace. It has nothing to do with your works. It has to do with grace. And God has given it to us through Jesus Christ. And I thank God through Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the devil does not want you to get this revelation. He doesn't want it to dawn upon you that the glory of Christ would be yours. And let's see, I'm going to go read on down a little bit here. Verse 6, seeing it is God that said, light shall shine out of darkness. There you go. The outer man is that darkness. The inner man can be that light if you believe the gospel. This light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, he says here. But it's the light of the gospel, the light of the good news that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. So he says, light shall shine out of darkness, who shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the face of Jesus Christ. He's still talking about what he was talking about, 2 Corinthians 3:18. Where does it come? When you see the face of Jesus Christ in the mirror. It's yours. It's your gift. That's what God wants you to do, is imagine that it is your gift now. Don't let the devil drag you away from this. Don't let him blind your mind from this, or you will not receive grace from God for it to come to pass. Multitudes are out there walking in willful disobedience because they couldn't find any way to get delivered of their sins. They're walking in willful disobedience. So he went on to say, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That old earthen vessel is the thing that resists you, but it can't resist you very long as you hold fast to the gospel that you can see Jesus in the mirror. And that glory is going to be manifested in you, and the old man's going to die. It's just that simple. We have this treasure in earthen vessels that the exceeding greatness of the power may be of God. See, people say, we can't be perfect. Well, Nobody said you could do it without him. We can do nothing without him, but we can do all things through him, all things. God will perfect us. He will mature us as a Christian. So the power is not from us. It's from God. And it comes how? By grace, through your faith, as you see Jesus in the mirror. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We are oppressed on every side, yet not straitened, perplexed, yet not unto despair, pursued, yet not forsaken, smitten down, yet not destroyed, always bearing about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our body. You are dying to your ability to save yourself, for one thing. You are dying to your... Everybody determines, Lord, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do better. I'll do better, Lord. Oh, you will? Well, let's see. That's what he says. You will not do better unless you hold to the gospel. That's where grace comes from. Don't make resolutions about what you're going to do. You know, you can make a resolution that you're going to see Jesus in the mirror because of his grace given to you. He put faith in you to believe this. We who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, so that the life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Oh my goodness, look at that. They told me I wasn't going to be changed till I went to heaven. Well, then, you're not going to bear fruit on the earth if that's what you believe. The plant was planted in the dirt. When it comes up, it bears fruit on the earth. Your fruit must be born on the earth. They're liars. They're trying to get you caught in a situation where your time is up and you have done nothing to bear fruit. Well, how do we bear fruit? We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. And we're transformed into the same image. What is that? The fruit of Jesus, right? Amen. The life also of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Oh my goodness. Here is where the life of Jesus is supposed to be manifested in us. And by the way, that word manifested, phaneru, means cause to shine, make visible. What? Cause to shine or made visible in our mortal flesh? This is not Jesus shining out of the sky on us, folks. It's Jesus shining out of us. You see that? Yeah, manifested. That's what the Greek word phaneru means. Caused to shine, to make visible. This is a light that's beginning to shine out of you as you continue to believe in Christ. And it changes from one glory to the next as you grow in Christ, from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. And that's maturity in Christ. Okay? Manifested in our mortal flesh. Don't forget that. That is most important that you understand that, because there's antichrist gospel preachers out there that are saying just accept your forgiveness. That's the only thing you're going to get here is forgiveness. You can't overcome nothing. You're always going to be a sinner saved by grace. They say it over and over, drill it into you. Well, if you're a sinner saved by grace, then that's an oxymoron. You're no longer a sinner if you're saved by grace. You were a sinner, and now you're saved by grace. Right? Amen. You're saved by grace. And that grace comes when you see Jesus in the mirror. Right? Ooh, this is good news. You need to hold fast to this, because the devil tries to shake you off of it. He will condemn you. But what we just read is there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How are you in Christ Jesus, Paul? Well, the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. I thank God through Jesus Christ. In other words, the Lord took care of it. It's no longer I that do it. It's the sin which dwelleth in me. Yeah. Oh, thank you, Father. Okay. 1 John. Let's see. I'm going to look at 1 John 2. I'll look at, say, 24. 1 John 2:24. As for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, this is where grace is. This is where everything is in Christ. This is where fruit is in Christ. If you abide in Him, you bear much fruit. That's what He said. Okay. How do you abide in Him? Well, it can't be the modern day gospel. He says, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. That's right here in this book. Okay. Now, they stray from that every way they can, because the devil does not want you to have this revelation of Christ in you. He does not want you to have this, because you will be a threat to his kingdom. You will destroy his kingdom in yourself when you understand this. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. It's not the modern day gospel. How do you know you're getting the true gospel? Get in the Word. That's what I did. When I realized I'd been lied to all my life, and a friend said, you'd enjoy the Word, I started reading the Word, and I was captured by the Word. And things just started falling off of me that didn't belong there, because I was renewing my mind with the Word. They were falling off of me. All of my sinful ways were falling off of me. I didn't know this principle I'm talking about now in the beginning, but I can see that's what was working in me. I was believing what the Bible said about me and what God had given to me and so on. You have to believe that which was spoken. Did you know, I'm just going to take this a little bit of a detour here. The Bible does not say that any translation is the only inspired word of God. It does not say that. And we can't believe something that's not in the Bible. It says the scriptures are inspired of God. Scriptures are not the translations. Scriptures are the writings. That's what scripture means, writings. That's what the word means. Those original writings. And that's why God made numerics. He created the Bible in a way that man couldn't add to it or take away from it. The curse that's in the end of the book, the last four verses of the book. He made it where you couldn't add to it or take away from it without destroying this perfect numeric pattern that goes all the way through the 66 books. So God gave us a perfect word. Now, you go searching for it. I did. I found out the way to know what the truth is. Now, I'm not saying you can't get enough of the good news to get saved out of the Living Bible. And the Living Bible is not a Bible. It's a paraphrase. It's not a Bible. They read a text and then they tell you what it means. Well, I don't like that. In the beginning, I thought it was useful. I had a Living Bible to really, really, really simplify things. But the more I wanted to look at each and every word and absorb the truth, the more I had to go to accuracy, you know. And so paraphrases don't give you accuracy. They give you what they believe that text says. And you're trusting in a man's revelation, whether he's got it or whether he doesn't have it, right? So, God wrote the truth. Translators are people that are not necessarily trustworthy either. They tweak things according to their understanding. If you go looking for the truth, you will find it. You search the truth. You search things out. You look at words. I'm not going to go very far in that direction, but I just want you to see here that you need to hold fast to the word which was spoken by God and which was written by the early church fathers. And if that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, then you abide in the Son. Don't trust in men today. You're trusting in people who have their own theories. They've only gone as far as they wanted to go in God. They wanted a quick trip. If they went to Bible school, they wanted somebody, just tell me how it is so I can go out here and take my certificate and prove everybody who I am. Well, all the Pharisees and Sadducees went to Bible school, folks. How many of them recognized Jesus? The things that have been are the things that shall be. You search out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You can't trust anybody. Oh, sure, if you're going to trust in a man, if he fails and he misses it, you're going to miss it with him, right? So seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But here is what gives us the glory of God. It is the word sown in the heart that causes the glory to come forth. The word of God. That which you heard from the beginning. Not what modern day preachers say. And this is the promise which he promised us. Even the life eternal. These things have I written unto you concerning them that would lead you astray. Yes, it's a very good exhortation. Okay. And now, I want to go down to, let's see, verse 28. Okay. And now, my little children, abide in him. We found out what abiding in him is, right? That if, not when, that was translator error, if he shall be manifested. People thought it was his appearing. It was talking about his coming, physical coming. But it's not talking about his physical coming. It's talking about his coming in you. If he shall be manifested. And that word is that phaneru, to make visible, to cause to shine. Where? Out of you. That if he be manifested, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, this is the fruit of Christ manifested in you. Because you believe the gospel, you're growing in him from glory to glory. And this is shining forth from you. This phaneru is shining forth from you as you believe the good news of the gospel. Because he gives you grace to do that. Right? If you have an unveiled face, you will be able to do this. Okay, and you won't be ashamed before it as coming. There's many religious people out there that are going to be ashamed before him. And are not going to be chosen because they haven't borne the fruit of Jesus Christ. And let me say, the fruit of Jesus Christ is the fruit of the original Jesus Christ, not the modern day Jesus Christ that everybody's created for themselves. When you look at the real Jesus Christ in the mirror, the biblical Jesus Christ in the mirror, and say, that is in me, that's good. But if you receive the modern day Jesus Christ in you, that's Antichrist. So how are you going to find the word? And Jesus is the word. He's not the translation. Translations are good. But you can find better and better translations. Even numerics lead you to better and better translations. Okay. And, you can find more accurate translations, but it is the word manifested in you that is Jesus Christ. He is the word. He's not going to change his word. He doesn't care how many centuries go by between here and when he first gave it to us in this New Testament. He's not going to change it. He warns you not to add to it or take away from it under threat of a curse in the last four verses of the book. That was Jesus speaking over there, by the way. And if you add to it, he'll add to you the plagues that are in this book. And if you take away from it, he'll take away your part in the tree of life. I don't care what men say. He said that. If you take away from the words of this book, and you lie to other people, and you destroy the gospel and the good news and the truths of God's word by telling them that this has all passed away, I'm telling you, he's going to judge you for that. You're held accountable if you're a teacher to go get it right before you give it out. You don't want to destroy many people, and that's what's happening. So if you have this glory manifesting from you, you won't be ashamed before him it is coming. And verse 29 says, and if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone also that doeth righteousness is born of him or begotten of him. Same word. Okay. Now, 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. No, it's not the sons of God. One translation flip-flops between children of God and sons of God. It's important that you know that you start out as a child of God and you end up, if you do end up with the fruit of Christ, as a son of God. It's a difference. Technon is the child. Huios is the son. Huios talks about the true relationship of father to son. Okay? So, when you begin, you are a child of God. He said that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this cause, the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not yet made manifest what we shall be. Not yet phaniru. It's not yet shining forth from you what we shall be. Notice that. For we know that if, it is if, it's not a when, it's an if. We know that if he shall be manifested, there it is, we shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. Epiphania is a word that also has the root phania, to shine forth. But it's to shine forth from. The Lord shines forth from those in whom he is manifested. This light of the glory of God, of the Word of God shining forth. Remember who Jesus is. He is the Word made flesh. Remember who we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be the Word made flesh too. In other words, that Word lives in us. If he shall be manifested, we shall be like him. There's your son glory. If he shall be manifested, where? In us, not appearing in the air. That's not what it's talking about. For we shall see him even as he is. You're looking at the real Jesus in the mirror. Notice, for we shall see him even as he is. How clear is this? That if he shall be manifested, and this is what the original says, by the way, we shall be like him. Do you see? Everyone, when he is perfected, shall be as his master, Jesus said. Who are you going to make your master? If you make your master a religion or a man, just remember this. Many men came and deceived many people, and all religions did. In Jesus' day, there wasn't one denomination that believed him. And many of those people stuck with their denomination and they did not follow him. Very few did follow him. They followed the theologians with all their letters behind their names, who did not recognize him, didn't know their Messiah, didn't know what he looked like. How are you going to find out what he looks like unless you look in that which we received from the beginning? The eyewitnesses Right? We shall be like him, for we shall see him even as he is. And everyone that hath this hope on him, now let me say, who is he talking about, everyone? Go back to the beginning of 1 John. Go back to the beginning of every letter. You'll find out he's not talking to the pagans. He's talking to you, Christian. Everyone that hath this hope on him purifieth himself, even as he is pure, even as he is pure. There it is. Wow. What hope? The hope of the manifestation of the sons of God. What Paul spoke about in Romans chapter 8. The whole creation's waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. The shining forth of the sons of God. The whole creation's waiting for this. Because then the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption. You see? And who was going around delivering the creation from the bondage of corruption? The Son of God. That's what he was doing. And guess what? Everybody that was born of him was doing the same thing. Delivering the creation from the bondage of corruption. The manifestation of sonship is what we're talking about here. And it's a progressive thing. Stars are not suns. Moons are not suns. Suns are suns. It's the third stage there. And 30, 60, and 100-fold is what the one out of four groups received as fruit from Jesus Christ. And the fruit was him. He is our fruit. He lives the Christian life inside of us when we walk in the gospel and believe the word of God. So everybody that has this hope on him purifies himself. Who can purify themselves? Only the ones that believe the gospel. The real gospel. Not the just accept Jesus gospel. No, the real gospel. Purifies himself, even as he is pure. And everyone that doeth sin, doeth also lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away sin. He is manifested in you to take away sin. How do you know he's manifested in you? Well, it's a taking away of sin. We know that. And in him is no sin. So let me say, what part of you abides in him? Because in him is no sin. What part of you does not abide in him? Because outside of him is sin. You see? So, you know that there are things that you have overcome completely. They don't even tempt you anymore. Does God want to continue that process? He certainly does. Will it be able to be continued without looking at Jesus in the mirror and believing the gospel? No. No, that's where grace comes from. That's the gospel. That's the real gospel. And whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. You see that? What did I just get through telling you? Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither knoweth him. That's your old man. He's at enmity with God, the Bible says. He's at enmity with you, too. He's the one who sins. He's the one that Jesus separated from you when you believed the gospel. And you decided that you did not want to walk in willful disobedience. My little children, let no man lead you astray. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. Now, I can tell you one thing, they are definitely leading people astray with that. Even as he is righteous, he that doeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. You know who's of the devil? Your old man is of the devil. He's an enemy. If you walk after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. Strengthen your spiritual man. Feed him the Word of God. The Word of God is the food of your spiritual man. And he must be fed. If you feed him on the world, if you feed him on politics, if you feed him on everything else besides the food that he needs, which is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, that which you heard from the beginning, if you feed him on everything else, he will just die. Feed the Word. You can go to church diligently and die. But you can't feed on the Word of God. You can't feed your spiritual man the Word. He's made up of the Word. Jesus is the Word, right? You can't do that and die. To this end was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, some people say, no, he just wants to forgive you, that's all. They're liars. That he might destroy the works of the devil. Well, if you look in Revelation 12, you see that the devil has taken on a body of 7 heads and 10 horns called a dragon. And those 7 heads are the 7 world-ruling empires and all of their seed all the way down to this day. And the 10 horns are the kingdom of the end. You're talking about all humanity. Everybody is deceived in a body for the devil. Everybody. Okay. So, but whosoever is begotten or born of God doeth no sin, because his seed, the Word of God, that's the Word of God. Remember the parable of the sower 3 times in Matthew 13, word is sperma. Jesus sowed the sperma in the hearts of men. That's the parable of the sower. It has nothing to do with you saving souls. It has to do with your own soul being saved by him. If your own soul is saved, you'll bear fruit. And guess what? The seed is in the fruit. Have you noticed that? Why do trees make fruit with seeds in them? So when the fruit falls to the ground, it becomes useful. The seeds bring up other, just like the first, right? So, but whosoever is born of God doeth no sin, because his seed abideth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. You think you're born of God because you receive a born-again spirit? No, your spirit's born of God. Your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, has to bear the fruit of what was given to you by your spirit, in your spirit. Okay. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Okay. Wow, good word there, Lord. I hope your people hear it and abide in it. Let's go to Colossians 3. I'm going to look at verse 1 here. And we'll see how far down we go. If then you were raised together with Christ, that's the gospel, you're believing that. Right, that you were buried, the old man was buried, the new man came up. You were raised together with Christ, seeking the things that are above, where Christ is. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. Is your mind always constantly filled with about the things on the earth? Well, it shouldn't be. You don't have time for that. You have to have your mind constantly on the Word of God. The Word of God is feeding your spiritual man. For you died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You died. You're not alive anymore. There it is again. I mean, people just read over this. They don't think on it, right? When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested. Oh, there it is. Cause to shine. Faniru. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. In other words, you will shine forth his glory. When he is manifested in you, you're going to shine forth with his glory. So he goes on to say, put to death therefore. In other words, since this is so, set your mind on the things above. Put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience. Wherein you also once walked when you lived in these things. But now do ye put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, railing, shameful speaking out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his doings, and have put on the new man that is being renewed unto knowledge after the image, there's that image, of him that created him. You're coming into his image. You behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and you're coming into that same image from glory to glory. Amen. All right. Let's see. I'm going to go on to 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Okay, now, this is the word epiphany. And it means the shining forth of the glory of Jesus. Okay? Shining forth from, appearing here. It's translated appearing in this translation. And I'm going to read you one. It says, I charge thee in the sight of God and of Christ Jesus, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing, which is the same word, this word of shining forth. It's epiphany. It's this shining forth from you. It's not a shining down on you. It's this shining forth from you. And by his appearing and his kingdom. Well, when he appears in you, that's where his kingdom is. Because his kingdom is wherever he rules. And he rules over the people in whom he is manifested. He don't rule over the people who are in rebellion against him. Right? Okay? Okay, so you see this. Okay, and also, let's go down to verse 8. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day. And not to me only. In other words, you're getting a reward for the righteousness that you manifest on this earth. Listen, when it's over, whatever you are, when you leave this place, whether it's not manifesting the 30-fold fruit, or whether it's manifesting 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold, whatever you leave this earth, that is what you're going to have for eternity. That is the reward. No, they're lying to you if they say everybody gets the same reward. It's not true. Your body is going to be different. A 30-fold body is different from a 60 and a 100-fold body. The ability of that body is different. Everything about the closeness you actually are to Jesus for eternity has to do with what you do when you leave this place. So you see, you're running a race. The Apostle Paul said it was running a race. You're not running a race against one another. You're running a race against time to manifest what you're going to be for eternity. Please listen. Please do not be deceived. So, let me read on. The Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but also to all of them that have loved his shining forth from. Epiphania. Have you loved the shining forth of Jesus? Have you loved it? The glory of God shining forth from you? Have you loved that? Is that what you desire? Some people just want to be justified and, you know, go on, continue on, get their fire insurance, go to church on Sunday, get fire insurance so they don't go to hell, and go on out there and live their life the way they want to live it. No, no, that's not what it's all about. It's not going to work. You can't fool God. But those that love his appearing, it's using the translation here as appearing, but it is the word epiphany. The shining forth from. Yeah. Okay. Okay, let's go to Titus. And I'm going to look at 2. Titus 2. 11. And we'll probably read through about 14. For the grace of God hath appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to the intent that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing, there's your word again, epiphania, shining forth from. Looking for the blessed hope and a shining forth from of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Are you looking for that? Do you want that in your life? Do you want the glory of God shining forth from you? Now, I'll just say this, that I've had several people tell me that they've seen the glory of God shining from me. And in the beginning, I didn't quite understand it. I understand it much better now. But when I was first saved, I wasn't doing anything but eating the Word day and night, day and night, day and night. It was the only thing that was important to me. And I had an apprentice working with me, which is a worldly man. And he said he would see me walking across the unit there. And he said he was a Catholic person. So God showed it to him in this way. It looked like a halo was around me. And he told me that. He didn't know God. And he told me many years later in the presence of other people, he says, I remember when I saw you and this halo was around you. It was the glory of God shining forth. I told him it was the glory of God, the Word of God living in me. You know? So this appearing of the glory is something that can be seen, even if God permits, by a lost person. But many people can see it in the spirit too. I've had people in the spirit tell me that they saw it, you know. Shining like beams of glory out of me. No. Well, I'm not taking credit for that. I love the Word of God. He put that in me. It's grace. I want to stick with the Word of God because I know it's the only thing that can bring forth this glory. Okay, so if you want this appearing, this epiphania, this shining forth from you of the glory of Jesus Christ, because the Word of God lives in you, and because you see Jesus in the mirror by faith, in other words, the gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. The gospel, the real gospel, is the good news that you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. You have to believe it before you see it. It's just like a healing. When you believe that by whose stripes you were healed, you hold fast to that confession of your hope till you see it come to pass. It's the same way with Christ coming in you. He's got the same methods. He's not changed these methods since the beginning. Men have departed from him. And religious leaders have departed from him. And so it goes on here. I'll read that part again. Looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Now, I know they say it's not possible, but who are we going to believe, him or them? That he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify to himself a people for his own possession, zealous of good works. They love to do good works, right? They're zealous of good works. Purifying to himself. How does God purify us? Well, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Change your mind. That's what repent means. Change your mind. You need to get in the Bible and put this in your mind until it overcomes what you have in your mind. And especially all your religious upbringing. Put this word in your mind. It's the food of your spiritual man. It's the glory of Jesus Christ. It will bring forth his life in you. And even a pagan can see it sometimes. Yeah. Oh, God, thank you, Lord. Please, please, Lord, do a finished work in all who are listening today. Let the faith and the glory of God shine forth from the people. Okay, I'm going to go to just a couple of things that kind of tell you this story in a little bit different way, but you can tell what it says, and some people think, oh, that's impossible, so they just read right over it. No, it's too good to be true. The gospel's too good to be true, so they just read right over it, right? I'm going to read Ephesians 4. 11 through about 13, okay? And he gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. Okay, so now you see that that's possible if you disbelieved anything I said today so far. But you see that the Nicolaitan error is an attempt by Satan to rob you of this perfection, this manifestation, this epiphany of Jesus Christ shining out of you like a light bulb, you know. The devil wants to steal that from you, and that's why the Nicolaitan error copied, for instance, Catholicism in their priestly order that's over you, you know. They went from a five-fold ministry to a one-fold ministry and usurped the authority of the rest of the five-fold ministry, which God still says are in effect today, because he said, don't you add to it or take away from it. Oh, that passed away. Oh, you're taking away from it. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't do it. You're under a curse. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering. In other words, you need it in you before you can give it to somebody else. People run out there. Let me see. I'm going to go to Bible college and I'm going to come out. I'm going to be a preacher. I'll make a good living at this the rest of my life. I'll put them all under the tithe. No, for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of ministering, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we look and listen, till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. The unity of the faith. We need to come to one faith. How can you do that if you're listening to any of the 4,000 denominations that are out there? No, go to your Bible. Get in your Bible. Okay. And of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a full-grown man. There it is. A fully matured person. Unto the measure of the stature of the what? Fullness of Christ. What? Well, Jesus said, everyone, when he is perfected, will be as his master. Who is your master? Is it your religion? Is it your preacher? Is it your flesh? Is it yourself? Quite often. unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, why would he make such a promise to us if he didn't believe it? And if he didn't believe it was possible? So that we be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men in craftiness after the wiles of error. Yeah. Now, if you didn't believe that, we'll go to chapter 3. And let's see, I'm going to read 14. 14 on down to 20. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. So here's praying for strength. He's on his knees. He's bowing down to the Father. He's asking the Father to touch the people, right? To strengthen them. That ye may be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inward man. That's the born again man, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. To the end. Now, why would he pray for something that he doesn't even think possible for it to come to pass? Why would he do that? The fact that he prayed it tells us that we can pray it too. The fact that he believed we could have it is the fact that we should believe we can have it too, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, to the end that you being rooted and grounded in love, this is the end of Christ in you, right? Rooted and grounded in love, may be strong to apprehend. Now, theologians sometimes put comprehend there. No, that's wrong. That's another error. It's not comprehend. You're not to comprehend this like a theologian does. You're to apprehend this. This is the word. It may be strong to apprehend with all the saints. Saints means sanctified ones. With all of the sanctified ones. What is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ? Now notice what he's saying. That you apprehend the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of Christ. That's what he just got through saying. That you may be strong to apprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth, and to know the love of. Yes, you can have all of his love. The love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Wow. And he's talking about on this earth. Isn't that amazing? So, if you didn't believe the first text, believe the second text. God is saying this. This is what maturity is. This is what full-grown maturity is. It is the manifestation of your sonship. It is the Son himself who has come to live in you and has displaced your carnal man. Oh yes, he's still living in that body. But he's a son glory. Now, if we walk by faith, we will grow from star glory to moon glory to sun glory. From star glory when we have our own righteousness to moon glory where we have none of our own righteousness but reflect only the light of the sun because we're dead, to the next stage, Christ in you, sun glory. See, if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, the moon glory, we shall also be of what? that resurrection life of sun glory. So, we're on our way. It's the power of God. I pointed it out to you several times now. It's not your power. No, of course, you can't do it by your power. It's not of works, lest any man should boast, for in Christ Jesus were we created for good works. Whose good works? Jesus' good works. We're the body of Christ. Guess who lives in the body of Christ? Jesus does. Where does Jesus do his good works now? In the body of Christ. He left an individual body because he had to reach the world, not just that little tiny place in the Middle East. And everybody's tried their best to short-circuit his plan for his people. His plan hadn't changed, and if we change it, we fall under a curse. His plan has not changed. His plan is the glory of God manifesting in you through faith in the fact that you do not live anymore. Christ lives in you. Yes, those are words of faith, but it is believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth Jesus as Lord that brings about this wonderful salvation. Now, I know they've made it really simple. Just confess Jesus as your personal Savior. But let's look at the real truth and depth of it. You can see people that do that, and they're mean as a snake. Did they get saved? Well, you can't prove it by their actions, by their love one for another, by the glory that's manifested in them. You can't prove it. Well, we just got through reading, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. Don't be deceived. He that doeth righteousness, there's some people that are just Pharisees. They're very proud of what they are, even though they didn't do anything to get there. You know, we don't do anything but believe God with the faith that he gives us. It's totally grace. It's totally grace. God chose you. You didn't choose him. You think you can cause somebody to be a Christian without God first choosing them or calling them? Many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. Remember this. He called us. He saved us and called us, he said in Timothy. He saved us and called us. You don't get called until you get saved. Remember this. Look up the word called that's used in that way, kaleo. It's always given to Christians. It's not to the world. It's not calling to the world to come to Christ. It is not. Look it up. I looked up every word in the New Testament. The calling is given to the saved, who saved us and called us. It's given to the saved. Now that you are invited, that's what the word called is. Now that you are invited to partake of these wonderful benefits of Jesus Christ in you, are you going to come? Jesus gave parable after parable of people who were called but refused to come. Oh, I'm too busy, Jesus. I married a wife. Oh, I got a yoke of oxen. I got some land. I got to go, you know. Yeah. Every kind of excuse in the world except for the one that he wants you to do. Come. You have been invited to partake of the benefits through the knowledge of God, the benefits of the kingdom. You've been invited to be a child and then a son of God. One who shines forth the glory of the Son of God. You've been invited to that. Are you going to take up the invitation? Many have lots of excuses, and they're all Christians. They all, you know, well, I'm busy with this, I'm busy with that. Well, you know, or I go to church, and it only take an hour, and I can get back home, and then I can get back to what I was doing, right? But I can tell you, it's not going to work. You're not going to bear that fruit in that way. In fact, the next verse, verse 20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." So here's these people that think that God can't do it. Well, they don't say that. They'll say, "We can't do it." That's true. I agree with them on that. We can't do it. But God can do it. In fact, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Whose power? His power. Unto him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus unto all generations forever and ever. Amen. He said, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthily of the calling wherewith you were called." In other words, you've been invited to partake of Christ himself. Is there anything on this earth more important? Well, if it is more important, then you don't love him the way you should love him, right? With all lowliness and meekness and long suffering, forbearing one another and in love. So as one way you can walk worthily of him is you don't do this. Walking in lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Giving diligence to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yes. And on down, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In the previous text, verse 3 and 19, "And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God." Well, he said, it was exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. But all you have to do is just believe the black and white. The black and white. Now, you want to know why most people fall away from the Lord? They never heard the gospel. The preachers never heard it themselves. Therefore, they don't manifest Christ. They think manifesting Christ is wearing a pinstripe suit, getting behind a pulpit, teaching other people. But you can't teach beyond what you are. You can't give something away that you don't have. "To him that overcometh will I give authority." That's why Jesus said he insists that the people that he sends forth are overcomers. They're the only ones that have authority. The rest of them have human authority, like the Pharisees and Sadducees did, who was in their Bible school and got their certificates, you know. I was so blessed never to go to Bible school. I went to the Bible school of Jesus. I read the Bible. Can anybody preach better than these guys? Huh? Can anybody do it? No. Where can you get better preaching than right straight out of book? That which you heard from the beginning. You see, where can you get better than that? You can't get better than that. Well, that's why the Bible tells you, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And we don't need any man to teach us. That's what he said. We don't have a need for any man to teach us. If God is not teaching us straight out of this word, even though it be through a man, we don't need it. There are people who sit on a pew all of their life and don't grow one bit in Christ. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you some of them lose the 30% that they had. And when you preach the gospel to somebody, preach the real gospel. Don't preach man's gospel. Just accept Jesus. If you do not repent and believe, Jesus does not accept you. It won't do you a bit of good to accept him. He won't accept you. Repent and believe was what was preached. Change your mind. Believe what he said. He wants a renewed mind in you so that he is able to use you and bring you to his glory, to manifest his glory in you. So don't preach their gospel. You can't find that in the Bible. If any man speak, let him speak as an oracle of God. Say what God says. Repent and believe. You know, you can fill churches up with just accept Jesus, and they do. They fill churches up. But there's no power in those churches. And there's a lot of sin there. And God doesn't defend them like he defended the early church, where Ananias and Sapphira tried to sneak in. And he struck them dead. Why? Because that was a real church. These people had come out from among them. Church means called out ones. He doesn't want an American. He doesn't want an Israeli. He doesn't want anybody that's of this world. His people have been taken captive to the nations. You understand what I'm saying? It means like Christians in America are more American than they are Christian. And that's easy, because the guy in the pulpit's the same way. We must repent. We must turn to God with all of our hearts. We must declare that the Word of God is true. We must, if we preach to somebody else the gospel, we need to preach the real gospel to them. And not that everything's going to be rosy if they accept Jesus, because they find out that's a lie. And a lot of them turn around and go right back into the world because they found out they got lied to. Coming to Jesus is a crucifixion of the old man and a resurrection of the new man. Crucifixions are not nice. It's necessary, but it's not nice. And when they expect all this good stuff to happen, you know, because now they've got Jesus, and it doesn't happen, they quite often fall away, go back into the world. Yeah. Look at Matthew 13. I'll just touch on that for a minute or two. I'm going to start in verse 19. However, I'm going to go back just one verse to verse 4. And as he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. So we're talking about the sower, who is Jesus Christ, who is sowing a seed. And some of these seeds fell into the hearts of people who were not worthy of their calling, as we just saw. So verse 19 says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the evil one and snatcheth away that which hath been sown in his heart. Oh, so you can have it in there and it be snatched away, and they forget it very quickly. I've seen people that had a lot of word in them, and it was snatched away. And because they are sown on the wayside. And so the seed sown here in this chapter, three times the word seed is the word sperma, the Greek word sperma. And the seed, which is the word of God, Jesus explained that. And he explained it here in verse 19, the word of the kingdom, right? The seed, which is the word of God, is the sperma of Jesus Christ. And that means it is the only thing that will bring forth Jesus Christ in you. is sperma. And the seed, which sometimes uses the word just for regular seed, sometimes it uses the word sperma, but you can tell that all these parables fit together. And so, if you want to come into the image of Jesus Christ, not some other Jesus, like Paul talked about, and some other gospel that Paul talked about, then you have to receive that which you heard from the beginning. That is the only seed that brings forth Jesus Christ. No modern day preacher can give this to you unless they're getting it right straight out of the Word. So, he said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, right? And he said it was sown in his heart, but he said the evil one came and took it. This is he that was sown by the wayside, in verse 20. And he that was sown upon the rocky places, this is he that heareth the word. There's the seed, the word, right? And straightway with joy receiveth it. Now you know when people have that joy on them about receiving the word of God, that they got something in their spirit. You can tell it. They are lit up. But it doesn't mean that they're going to continue on. There's many called, but few are chosen. As I explained to you, the Christians are called. They're invited to partake of the benefits of the kingdom of God, which is Jesus Christ. Do they do that? Well, the parables show that no, quite often they don't. They get distracted by the world and the things of the world, and they forget to feed their spiritual man. And then they wonder why they fall away, like these three did here. With joy he received it. Yet hath he not root in himself. Those roots have got to go out of your spirit and into yourself. As I explained, salvation is first spirit, then it's soul, then it's ultimately the new body. Right? That's what salvation is. Born again, by the way, is the same thing. It starts in your spirit. It goes into your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. When your soul is obedient to your spirit, as Peter spoke, you are manifesting Christ in your soul. Your mind, your will, your emotions. That's when that shining forth happens. It's when your soul is obedient to your spirit man. And you're not obeying the flesh. You're walking after the Spirit. He hath not rooted in himself, but endureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, because it does, first God gives you the word, and then he tests you. You get tested. And the devil, you know, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Why would the Holy Spirit bring him to be tempted? Because the word has to be tested. It could be, just be theology, just in your mind, just in your words, but not in your life. It has to be tested. It's going to be tested. And when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, straightway he stumbleth. Right, so there's another falling away. And he that was sown among the thorns, this is he that heareth the word, so he received the seed, right? And the care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches chokes the word. He got the word, he got it sown in his heart, as it says, but the world choked it out. Because you can't just feed on politics all day long and expect to make your spiritual man stay alive. He feeds on the word. He feeds on the word. If you feed your spiritual man, he will win the battle. If you feed your carnal man, he will win the battle. Give your carnal man everything he wants, you will die. You will be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. How can you be twice dead if you're not twice born? Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. What gets plucked up by the roots? The tree that does not bear fruit, Jesus said. How do you bear fruit? We just studied it. That manifestation is the fruit of Christ in you. It's shining forth. Right? And so it chokes the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that was sown upon the good ground, this is he that hears the word, okay, the seed's been sown in his heart, right, and understandeth it, who verily beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. One out of four bears fruit. You know where the rest of them are? They're all out there in the world doing their thing. They've been inoculated against the truth. Oh, yeah, I've been there. I went there with mom and daddy. I went to church with mom and daddy, and I didn't see a whole lot in it. And they don't. They've been inoculated. They're out there in the world. Think about how many people have heard some portion of the gospel and gone back out in the world. But you know, when a person really loves the word, I mean, they pick up the book and they keep on, they keep on, they keep on. This is food. This is good. I want to know how to follow Jesus. You know, the Bible says, if anyone says that they abide in him, let them walk as he walked. I want to know how to walk with him, don't you? How can two walk together except they be agreed? So, we have to learn how to agree with God so we will receive what he speaks to us, right? You can hear the voice of God if you agree with the word of God. But otherwise, you don't know the voice of God. You do not know the voice of God unless you study the scriptures to know what's his voice and what is that very slick devil's voice. You can go into churches and they look very holy, you know, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're getting the truth there. And you won't know it unless you study the word of God. Bible says, seek out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is why. Why did three out of four people fall away? I think a major part of this is because they never heard the full gospel. They never heard the full gospel. Helps you to put on your armor to know that you cannot walk by sight about who you are. You have to walk by faith about who you are, and it's already written who you are, and it's Jesus Christ. You are the body of Jesus Christ, in whom Jesus Christ lives. And we have to confess ourselves as dead and him alive in us. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord, the Spirit. The power comes from the Lord, the Spirit of God. Oh, Father, this is such good news. I pray and I wish that all of your people could hear and understand these things. Lord, you've hidden so many things in your word. for people to find? You say it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, and it's the glory of kings to seek it out. You've even let men hide these things in translations. But if any man is willing to do the will of the Father, he shall know of the teaching. That's what you said, Lord. He shall know the teaching. The truth will be known by those who love it and go after it. And yes, they will be hated. You can look out there. You will find, well, you just look in the book. You'll see very clearly that those who followed the Lord most succinctly were the ones who were hated the most. Because the world is so opposite. And the spirit that is in the world is so opposite. It is an antichrist. Antichrist is in every man that doesn't know Christ. I hate to tell you that, but it's a fact. And it's in a lot of people who say they know Christ. Who was it that crucified Jesus? Who was it that killed his disciples? Who was it? Oh my. Is it the same today? Yes, it's the same today. You want to find somebody who's, go out there and find somebody who is hated, slandered, railed at. Check that guy out. Look at the prophets. Who killed the prophets? Who killed all the prophets? So-called people of God. So, you see, you can't trust men. You cannot trust religion. You can only trust God. You can ask of God anything. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. Ask God for the truth. Ask him for the truth. Ask him for the love of Jesus. Ask him for the glory of God. Ask him for these things. And then believe you have received. That's what he said. Believe you have received. So if I receive that, then if I've received it, I can look in the mirror and see Jesus. Your imagination was created to help you have faith to receive from God things that are exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Your imagination helps your faith if you have a renewed imagination. If you've got the imagination that destroyed the world, as in the wicked men in Jesus' day whose imaginations were all evil. If you have that imagination, you need the renewed, the born again imagination that God gives by showing us these parables. We know that baptism is an act of faith. You didn't get cleaned up by that water. It's an act of faith. Let me interpret the parable for you. The washing of the water with the word is the fulfillment of your baptism. The word of God puts to death your old man when you obey it. And it brings to life your new man. So there you have death, burial, and resurrection. The new man is the one that comes up. The old man is dead. He's not with you any longer. Stop talking about him. You know, stop believing in him. Stop seeing him in the mirror. It's the new man you must see now. You see him by faith. And your faith will be rewarded with God's grace, which is power from God to be what you see in the mirror. Oh, Lord, this is such good news. Thank you so much, Father. Lord, please help the people retain this I know, Lord, that the devil constantly comes back. He has to shake us off of this. But if it's valuable to us, we're not going to lose it. If it's valuable to us, we're going to continue to renew our minds with the Word of God. If it's valuable to us, it'll be more important than things, than people, than religion, than being in an in group out there somewhere. One of those, you know. We're the ones. We're the ones. We got this. We believe this. We do this, you know. We want to be joined in spirit with everyone who is a disciple of Christ. Jesus made conditions for being disciples. Lots of people call themselves Christians, but he made conditions for being disciples. One of them was to lose your life in order to gain your life. Another one was renounce everything you have, or you can't be my disciple. It doesn't belong to you. None of it belongs to you. It belongs to him. You have to renounce 100% in the New Testament, not 10%. They lied. 100% belongs to God. You are now a steward. You're not an owner anymore. You're not an owner of 90% and a steward of 10%. You're a steward of 100%. Jesus said, if you don't renounce everything you have, you cannot be a disciple. You can be what they loosely call Christians, but you can't be a disciple. We came here to die, to self. Jesus must live in us. We must believe every word he speaks, whether it's through personally through that physical body of Christ that he spoke it, or whether it's through his disciples who were raised up in his image and spoke it as anointed by God. Well, all right, saints, we've run out of time. God bless you and keep you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and I pray you'll think on these things and continue on to manifest Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Good night.